Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. And what a mighty God we serve. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, if you could open up to Acts chapter number 9, Acts in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Those of you that know me know that I like to stay busy. Is anybody else like that? You like to stay busy. You don't like to be idle. You like to stay busy. And I'm that way. I like to work hard. I like to try new things. I like to start up new ministries. I usually end up having too many things going on at the same time. That's a problem. But one thing that I have to be careful about is this, is to be careful that what I'm doing is not necessarily what Rich Costanza wants to do, but what the Lord wants to do through Rich Costanza. I think what John the Baptist said, I think, sums it up the best. In John 3:30, John the Baptist said this, speaking of Jesus, say it with me. He said, he must and I must decrease. And, you know, our fingers and our toes, for instance, are parts of our physical body. But Jesus, when we talk about our spiritual body, the body of Christ, we know that Jesus is the head of the body, is what he's called in the Bible. I'm like the toe or the finger, but your toes and your fingers are still part of your body, right? And in the body of Christ, although we might be spiritual toes or we might be spiritual fingers, we're still part of the body of Christ. And essentially what that means is this, is my life is his life. You can't separate the two. Our lives are part of his life. His life is part of our life. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. On the screen, it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So if you are saved, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a member of his body. You are bones of his bones. You are flesh of his flesh. That means wherever I go, he goes. That means whatever I watch on TV, he watches on TV. That means whatever I look on the internet, that means he looks at what I look on the internet. Whatever I listen to, that means he listens to. I'm bones of his bones. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm a member of his body. My life is his life because I'm part of his body. And if our lives are not supposed to be about us, but about Jesus, then who should we be taking direction from? From him, from Jesus, the head of the body. Like I said, God designed the parts of our physical body to react to the leading of our head, communication central. So it just makes sense that God designed you as a member of his spiritual body, the body of Christ, to take direction from the head of the body, which is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter number 9, where we're going to be here this morning, we have probably one of the most significant events to ever take place in the Bible. Look at it with me, Acts chapter number 9, and then I'm going to be reading starting in verse number 1. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1, and we'll read to the beginning of verse 6. The Bible says this. It says, Saul, still yet breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any there of the way, either men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he went, he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone round about him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he, speaking of Saul, said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Trembling and astonished, Saul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Saul became a believer. He became a follower of Jesus Christ, of the very Christ he was persecuting. And because of Jesus Christ, Paul turned over a new leaf, so to speak. He had a new life. The Bible says after he stopped trembling, after he stopped shaking, after he saw the resurrected Jesus, The Bible says that all of a sudden, the first words that came out of his mouth were these words, "Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do?" May I submit to you today that as believers in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, as Saul was, as members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones, we must have the same heart that Saul had here and do whatever Jesus has in store for us to do. Doing what the Lord wants you to do sometimes involves putting aside your own agenda in favor of Christ. Putting aside your own agenda aside in favor of Christ. Some of us have a daily routine that we have down pat. Some of us keep a daily calendar, maybe on our computers. Maybe your daily calendar is on your phones. Maybe you use a whiteboard. Maybe you have something like that in your kitchen, you know. But and some of us might write down our to-do list keep track of what needs to be done the old-fashioned way. We ask our wives to remember. No, I'm just kidding. We make our lists. You know, we call the dentist's office, make an appointment to get the oil changed, get your hair done. Well, I don't get my hair done. This is about as good as it gets, and it seems like it's less and less every year, so less to have to worry about. But when we're making our to-do lists of the things that we want to get done, is there really any flexibility in our schedule to include what Jesus wants us to get done, something that God wants us to get done? In Acts chapter number 9 here, all the things that were on Saul's to-do list were the things that Saul wanted to get done. If you look again with me at the beginning of that chapter in verse number 1, you read about all the things Saul wants to get done, or Saul does. It says that Saul, he's breathing out threats. Saul goes to the high priest. Verse number 2, he requested, he found, he might bring bound. These are all the things that Saul wanted to do that were on his agenda. But again, what a difference that Jesus Christ made in this man's life. The account in Acts chapter number 9 goes on, and you'll notice the difference. You'll notice a shift from the focus being on he went, he requested, he found, he brought, he came, he did this, he did that, now to a focus on Christ's agenda. Saul now says in verse number 6, it's no longer about what Saul wants to do or what Saul did. Now Saul is submitting to Jesus, and he says, hey, it's not about my agenda anymore, Jesus. What will you have me to do? Whew. The most important thing to me in knowing what God wants you to do is you communicating with him. Talking to him in prayer, letting him talk to you by you reading his word, the Bible. Remember, God's design is for the head to communicate with the rest of the body. And that's how he does it, through his word. If you and your spouse went a week without communicating with each other, that would be really awkward, wouldn't it? Really strange, but some of you might enjoy that. I hope not. But the thing about it is this, like I said, what kind of a relationship would that be if you didn't communicate with your spouse? You know, if my wife Kathy wanted me to do something around the house and we never talked about it that week, how would I know what she wanted me to do? I wouldn't know, because there is no communication. Likewise, how do I know what God wants me to do if there's no communication between me and God? Jesus Christ has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He has saved you. He has entered into a personal relationship with you. He has kept you here on this earth for a reason. And you can know his agenda, his plan for you, if you communicate with him. And it might mean setting aside some things in your own agenda. But we see in this passage that doing what the Lord wants you to do calls for you to do this. It calls for you to submit to the supreme authority in your life. And that supreme authority in your life is Jesus. You know, I got a ticket a couple of weeks ago on my son Elijah's 15th birthday. It couldn't have happened at a worse time. It was his birthday morning. I just dropped him off at school, and I left, and then I was driving through a school zone, and the flashing light was blinking, and the sign said 20 miles an hour. And I read the sign, and as I read the sign, I had the knowledge of what I was being asked to do. That sign communicated to me what I needed to know. But although I had that knowledge, if I'm driving 25 miles an hour through that school zone, there's a problem. The problem is that I have not submitted to the authority figure that has decided to post that speed limit sign. I have the knowledge, but it's a problem of submission. Sometimes we have the knowledge of what Christ wants us to do. We've read his word. We've prayed. He's communicated to us. Sometimes we have the knowledge of what Christ wants us to do. He makes it very clear, but we lack the submission. We lack the submission. No, it's like he leads us to the water, but he can't make us drink. Right? Right? You know, before Acts chapter number 9, before Acts chapter 9, verse 6, specifically, Saul, he had the knowledge of Jesus. Jesus was no secret in his day. He had the knowledge of Jesus, but the problem was this. Saul's problem was that he would not submit to the ultimate authority in his life. The first few verses of this chapter, you know, we read several action verbs again to describe what Saul did. You know, he threatened, he found, he brought, he went. But notice this in verse number 4 in that chapter. Look at it with me. In verse 4 of that chapter, the last action word that you see to describe Saul before his encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ, verse 4 says, he what? He fell. He fell. No matter how much, no matter how hard Saul worked to try to achieve his own goals, his own personal agenda, in the end, he fell down before the Lord. His goals were no match for what Jesus wanted to do through him. And oh boy, what Christ did through this man who we know as the Apostle Paul later on in the Bible. Just imagine what Jesus Christ could do through you. Imagine the impact you could have in your lifetime when you have the mindset, when you have the heart submission that Saul did, and you ask Jesus, Lord, what do you want me to do? At this time, I'm going to ask one of our church members to come up and give a testimony. Her name is Teresa Nolte, and she is one person that I know has surrendered to what God wanted her to do. So let's welcome Teresa up this time.
Hi, my name is Teresa Nolte, and I have been serving in the kids' ministry for over 18 years at Crossroads. I started out as a helper, and then I quickly moved to be a teacher. If I could pick just a few words to describe the kids' ministry, I would say that it is pure fun. I get to use my spiritual gift of teaching to serve the Lord. Teaching is the best way to learn the Bible and teach God's truth to children that so they can understand it. I get to learn the Bible right alongside the kids. I can relate to the kids because I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 8 years old. Since God saved me at a young age, I want the children to know that they can also put their faith in Jesus as well. Although I don't have any kids of my own, I want to be able to fill in that gap, teaching the children and make sure I teach the next generation. In 2 Timothy 2:2, the Apostle Paul was encouraging Timothy at a young age as well, and he said this, "The things that you have heard from me amongst many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It's such a blessing to work in the kids' ministry because God's word is exciting and it is life-changing. Jesus cares about the kids. As we see in Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Come, let the children, let them come to me, and do not forbid them. I am here to help the children so they can come to know Jesus and apply his word to the everyday situations." Just this last month, for the children working in the large group, they would come in, they would look for me because they would get to say their Bible verses, and they were so excited that they could earn a piece of candy. For a short period of time, I get to form relationships with the kids so that we can learn and that we can laugh together. I invite you to come and join the fun in the kids' ministry. There are so many ways that you can serve, but there is only one requirement, and that is that you love Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. That was awesome, and I can testify to that. I've been an employee here at Crossroads for 20 years, and I've served with Teresa in the children's ministry in the past, and she is an incredible, incredible example of someone. If you're not serving right now, it's never too late to start. She's been serving for 18 years in the children's ministry. If you haven't got plugged in yet, there's always time to submit to the Lord and get involved. You know, as we're talking about Teresa, she's, again, a real life example today in our age of someone that has simply said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And it's a great question for us to answer ourselves. Are we submitting to Jesus to be a vessel fit for the master's use? Saul knew that trying to battle against Jesus was a no-win situation. Jesus, as we know, he's the all-powerful, mighty God of the universe. He's the master. He is Lord. And it's interesting here, if you look back with me once again in Acts 9 at verse number 6, when Paul asked the question, the key question, and he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? The word that Paul uses to address Jesus, translated Lord in our English Bibles, was the Greek word kurios. And that word means this. It means supreme in authority. Not a corporal, not a sergeant, not a colonel, but the highest rank of authority, period. Translated Lord. Saul now recognized that. If you look with me at verse number 13, drop down there with me, it speaks about Paul's past. And in verse 13, it says this, Ananias answered, and he's speaking to the Lord, and he says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, Saul, how many evil things he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he, Saul has authority. What kind of authority? From the chief priests to bind all that call on your name, Jesus. But verse 15 starts with the word what? But. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go your way. For this man is a chosen vessel of whose? Of mine. Of mine. Paul had prior authority, Ananias said, not just from any priest, but the chief priests, the highest authority. After hearing that, I love Jesus' response. Jesus' response is awesome. Jesus says to Ananias, he says, hey, go your way, buddy. I hear what you're saying about the authority that Saul has from the chief priests. But don't worry about it. He is a chosen vessel of the supreme authority. He's a chosen vessel of mine. Mine. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22, later on, Paul, who was Saul, writes this. He says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus, and made him the head over how many things? All things. Paul now recognized this, and he writes it later. Jesus might be your Savior today. You might acknowledge Jesus as the one that paid your sin debt on the cross, who has given you a home in heaven in the future, but is he your Lord? As Saul did, can you call him Lord? Can you call him the supreme authority in your life? Doing what the Lord wants you to do entails willing to be led. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible gives us again some great instruction, again written later by Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. And it says this in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 on the screen. It says, I urge you, Paul is writing this now, who was Saul later on in life? He's saying, hey, I learned my lesson. And before in time past, it was about me, 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 me. But no, that's not right. It should be about him, 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 him. So I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto who? God, which is your reasonable service. And as you keep reading through that chapter, it's an amazing chapter. You might ask, okay, Lord, what will you have me to do? Again, you find out the answer to that question where? In the Bible. God has told us what he wants us to do. He's given us examples. If you drop down to some other verses here, verses 7 and 8, he says, if service in serving, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with generosity, he who rules with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then a little bit later on, at the end of that chapter, if you go down to verse number 13, it says this. It says, contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. You know, the Lord has given you some ideas of what he wants you to do in serving him. He has given each believer in Jesus Christ at least one spiritual gift. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I encourage you to take our next 5-week spiritual gifts class. We just had about 40 people in our church do that. They learned about each and every one of the spiritual gifts, and they found out what gifts that they have, that they possess, that they can use to serve and contribute in the body of Christ. If you're saved, you have Christ in you. The Bible says in the form of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. It says, do you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells where? Dwells in you. And the Bible says in Galatians 5 that we should allow his Holy Spirit to lead us. You know, lead us. Yesterday, after work, I had to work yesterday. Usually I have Saturdays off, but I had to work yesterday. And then after work, at about 4, 4:30 in the afternoon, I went to the beach. And I grabbed my son Elijah, and we went to the beach. So I left work, went straight to the beach. I didn't have anything else with me. Thankfully, I had a pair of swimming trunks in my trunk of my car. So I took off my work clothes, put on my swimming trunks. Elijah was with me. We started to walk towards the water. And then as soon as I got to the water, I looked straight ahead as we were approaching the ocean. Did anybody else go to the beach yesterday by chance? What'd you notice about the beach yesterday? High waves, right? And I'm a surfer, and we didn't have time to grab the surfboards, the boogie boards, didn't have time for that, because like I said, I just came right from work, so I looked at the waves, and I was like, I wish I had my surfboard, but I didn't have my surfboard, so I looked at the waves, and I said, Elijah, we can do the next best thing. Let's do some body surfing, and I'm like, yes, these waves are awesome, we're going to do some body surfing, and then there was only one problem. Usually when I go to the beach, I wear my contact lenses. So I had my glasses, and I looked at the waves. I knew what I wanted to do. I looked at Elijah. I said, I'm sorry, buddy. I can't go out there with you. I said, without my glasses, I can't see anything. Right now, you all are a big blur. And I mean that literally. And then you know what Elijah does? True story. I told him I was going to use this because I said, man, that fits so well with my message tomorrow morning. Elijah, I took my glasses off, and I set them down, and Elijah said, Dad, he said, and can I borrow you for a second? I'm Elijah. Elijah said, Dad, don't worry. I'm going to lead you. And he took me by the hand, because I said, I can't see anything. And Elijah led me into the shark-infested waters. And then he said, go down. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for your help. Now, the problem is, where did I put my glasses? Okay, there they go, right there. But here's the thing about it, is this. You know, I was just amazed that he used those exact words. He said, Dad, he took me by the arm, and he said, Dad, and he led me by the hand. He said, Dad, let me lead you. Don't worry, I got you. So in order for me, it required for me to submit to the leading of my 15-year-old son, Elijah. And I thought that was so cool, because here in Acts chapter number 9, look at it with me once again. In Acts chapter number 9, when Jesus Christ appeared unto Saul, verse number 3 says this. It says, as he went, he drew near Damascus, Saul, and suddenly a light from heaven shone round about him. And then go down to verse number 8. Look in the middle of verse number 8. It says in the middle of verse number 8. It says what? Exactly. I read that, and it says they led him by the hand. You know, God got Saul's attention, and now Saul, who could no longer see, this former ruthless leader had to learn something new for 3 days. He had to learn how to humbly follow the lead of someone else. He was blind, and he couldn't see. And unlike Saul, we're not blind. We don't need to be led around by the hand, but the principle is still the same. You and I need to be led. The Bible instructs believers like you and I to be led by His Word, to be led by Christ Himself, by His Holy Spirit that leads, that lives inside of us. Galatians 5:25, it says this, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. You know, maybe today, after looking at this example of Saul, maybe you have come to the conclusion, I understand, it's not all about me and everything I want to do. I realize that it's about the supreme authority, Jesus Christ, and what He wants to do through me. If there's one thing that will hold you back from asking Jesus the same question that Saul asked Him, what will you have me to do? I believe it's fear. I believe that it's fear. You know, what if He shows me what He wants me to do? And what if I submit to it? How am I ever going to be able to do it? Good question. And the answer is this. You're not. But He's going to do it through you. Amen. You've already heard a testimony from Teresa. The next service, there's another person named Darlene who's going to give a testimony. The third service, a man in our church named Matt's going to give a testimony. Every one of them will agree, as well as those of you out there that are currently serving the Lord in some capacity, you will agree to this. And that doing what the Lord wants you to do necessitates knowing that you can serve Him through His strength. Look with me once again at Acts chapter number 9 and drop down to verse number 22. In verse 22, what an incredible verse this is. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 22. The Bible says this. It says, yet Saul increased all the more with power and confounded the Jews living in Damascus, proving that this one is the Christ. Verse 22 says he increased the more in strength and in power. How do you think this happened? It was because Saul now had the greatest power source on the planet working inside of him, the same one that Paul says you and I have today, and that is Jesus. In the Bible, Paul later writes this in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. How are we able to do this? How are we able to serve Christ? If I say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And He shows me and I submit to it, how am I going to be able to do it? I'm going to do it according to the power that works where? In us. Paul later writes in Philippians these words. He says, for God is the one. It's God. He's the one that is working where? In you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, what an incredible, incredible, incredible thought that is. You know, after Saul got saved, he begins to go by the name of Paul. Do you know what the name Paul means? It means little one. And I don't think the name change had much to do with Paul's size or his stature. Because from what we've talked about tonight, before salvation, he was Saul. Man, he was named after the mighty king of Israel, the first king of Israel, who stood head and shoulders over everyone else. but who ended up disobeying God and was removed to the throne. But now he became Paul. He became the little one, the one who is now humbly content taking authority from the Supreme One, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul just wanted to be a small vessel that was fit for the Master's use. If you're saved, like Paul, who became Saul, God has given you a new life, and he's given you the opportunity to make the most of it. I'm sure when Saul changed his mindset, when Saul changed his heart submission from serving himself to serving Jesus, when he asked Jesus, "Hey, Lord, what will you have me to do?" I'm sure it never crossed his mind how the economy was doing. It never crossed his mind about what other people would think. It never crossed his mind about what other appointments he had. It never crossed his mind about what his own personal problems were that might prevent him from serving God. I guarantee you that none of that crossed his mind. It didn't, because he knew what mattered most was simply surrendering and serving Jesus. If you do that, don't be surprised if God gives you opportunities to do things that you never expected, to be a blessing to other people. Don't be surprised. It's our God who is amazing. Like we sang earlier, how great is our God? And what an incredible thought that our great God wants to be a blessing to other people through you. Lord, what will you have me to do? Would you pray with me?